When I was an army chaplain, my soldiers asked me all kinds of questions about God, life, relationships, the Bible, and I answered them as best I could. They also called me Padre. Welcome to the Dear Padre podcast. I'm glad you're here. I hope something you hear today encourages you.
I'm ready. A reading from the book of Jonah. But the Lord provided a large fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. How shall I look again upon your holy temple? The waters closed in over me. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought me up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who worship vain idols forsake their true loyalty. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Deliverance belongs to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah out upon the dry land. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The book of Jonah, as you've been reading, describes the journey of the prophet, but also our journey in life as well. There's a point at which we often have to say no to God. Jesus told the story of the two sons, the one who said no and the one who said yes. When the father told him to work in the vineyard. And the one who said no eventually goes and works. And the one who says yes doesn't work. Which one did the will of the father? It's a simple answer. It's the one who said no, but eventually went and did the work. And Jonah eventually does the work after this great trial. Would have been a lot easier for him to just go to Nineveh. But instead he takes this fish-borne route. The giant fish swallows him. He's in there 3 days and three nights. Many years later, another prophet, Jesus, will repeat several times that just as Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights, so will he be in the grave. So will he be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights, which of course is hard to figure out when Jesus was crucified on a Friday, got through Saturday and Sunday morning, rises from the dead. Hard to get 3 days and three nights out of that. It can be done. Much like when I was a dock worker and a loading dock, there were certain ways you could punch your time card that made it look like you were there longer. I don't know if Jesus did that in the grave or not. But it's this moment that he compares it to, which tells us something about how Jesus saw his own life and ministry with God. The moment in Gethsemane where he wrestles with God, wrestling over whose will win out? Whose will be done? His own will or the will of the Father? In that wrestling, in that anguish and agony, in that suffering, which is a different kind of suffering than the crucifixion, but it is suffering because it's a suffering of decision-making, having a real choice. Just as Jonah had to make a choice about what he would do when God told him to go to Nineveh, Would he go to Nineveh or would he go the opposite direction? Jonah chooses the opposite direction. And Jesus chooses to go with what God has invited him to do, to go through the humiliation and shame of the crucifixion, the pain of it. And then both experience, Jonah and Jesus, these 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. This poem that Jonah speaks is the poem of Jesus, as he is in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights too. Out of the belly of Sheol, I cried. Sheol in the New Revised Standard Version is just transliterated from the Hebrew, just the Hebrew words plopped in there. In older versions, you might see, out of the belly of hell, I cried. Hell, that word in the Bible, used all throughout the Bible, can mean a lot of different things, but also the same thing. The abode of the dead, the grave, all of those places that are places of great mystery and sadness and grief. Jonah is in hell, in the belly of this fish, in the heart of the seas. I don't know what that was like. Modern commentators often tell you up front, as the New Revised Standard Version does in the introduction to Jonah, Jonah is not a historical book. They don't have to say that for other books. I don't know why. I don't know why this one gets special treatment. I guess it's hard to believe if Jonah really got swallowed by a whale or not. Is Jonah a tale of a whale or a whale of a tale? You'll have to decide that for yourself, I suppose. Maybe we'll meet Jonah someday and ask him. Maybe we'll meet the whale someday and ask the whale. But that idea that this can't be historical in any way, shape, or form, to me is a, you know, why would anybody write a poem like this unless they had that experience? Pretty serious stuff down at the bottom of the ocean. The bars closed in upon me forever, but you brought up my life from the pit. As my life was ebbing away, I remembered the Lord. I don't know if you've ever had an experience like that, when your life was ebbing away. Sometimes we're in situations where it feels like our life is ebbing away. Our good years are leaving us faster than anything good is happening to us. That we've wasted time. We've had time wasted for us by somebody else or some other group. Or we've lived life in a way that has eaten up that time, taken it away from us. Our life is ebbing away. Or maybe it's we do have a health concern that is shortening our life in really dramatic ways. Or some other thing that makes us feel like our life is ebbing away. That's a really profound spiritual place to know that that is happening and to feel that that is happening. And it's the way he says it, I remembered the Lord in that moment. That's when he remembered. Memory is a weird thing. We can't really control our memories, especially the good and bad ones. The ones that are extreme highs and extreme lows have a way of popping into our heads just about any time we least expect them to. And especially in times of great distress, when our life is ebbing away. I had a memory pop into my head this morning while I was running with the running group, and my leg was hurting. And I was remembering other times where I had hamstring pulls and pain like that in other races, and how I got through them or didn't get through them. And then I remembered the fact that when I was in the Army, I knew two different guys who completely changed their last names. And that just popped into my head. Two different guys who changed it. One name changed his name to Scuba because he likes scuba diving. And the other guy changed his name to Attilius He changed his first name to Tiberius and his last name to Attilius because he really liked Roman stuff. And I was thinking about those two guys that changed their last name to really, you know, memory is a weird thing. It pops into our head. And for here, in this moment of desperation, of extreme deprivation, where his life is ebbing away, he is in the grave. There's no getting out of this. Darkness is closing in. He remembers the Lord. He remembers the covenant God has made with him. He remembers the promises that God made with him. And he remembers those moments where he felt really alive. He remembers those moments where he felt like God loved him. He could feel that love. Sometimes we just have a memory of it when we can't really feel it when life is ebbing away. But it's in this moment that he has this. And so it says, he remembers, he prays to God in this moment as if his prayer is going into the holy temple. There's a strange memory of his temple visit, his temple prayers. I was listening to a rabbi speak about Hannah praying a couple weeks ago, how Hannah goes to the tabernacle to pray for a child, this deep longing of her heart, which is not just about the child, but it's also about her and her worth as a spouse and her worth as a person in this world and all these other things that she's praying about. And the rabbi said she went to a place, she went to the tabernacle. We do need places to go to pray. That's one of my goals for this next phase of our church, is to have more established places we can go to pray, that you can go to pray whenever you need to, rather than just virtual or rather than just once on Sunday where we gather, but other places and other times where we can pray. We need places to pray. And this is where he goes. He goes to that holy temple in his mind. He can't go there with his body, but he goes there with his mind. And I don't know if you have a place where you go in your mind when you really need, when your life is ebbing away. I hope you do. Hope some memory of a place that you experienced God comes back to you in those times. And that's what he does. And just as he's having this moment of reverie, holy reverie, as he enters the temple and he smells the incense and he knows he's home, and he knows God loves him and God's going to take care of him, even though he's in the belly of the fish at the bottom of the sea. Even though all that's happening, he's feeling this. He's knowing it in a deeper way. The memory is not just a memory anymore. It's an experience. It's kind of like a vision. It's really happening to him. Just as this is happening, he hears this rumbling, and he goes up and up through the throat and out the mouth, and onto the shore. Then Jonah spoke to the fish. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it spewed Jonah up on the dry land. The answer to prayer sometimes is getting spewed. It sucks, and it's painful, and you're covered in slime, and it's gross, but you're out. And that is a mercy of itself. That's what it says God did for Jonah. God heard his prayer, and he answered it by spewing him out. Maybe there's some places that you and I need to be spewed out of today. I don't like to be spewed out of anything. I like to stay in my cozy little misery. I like to stay safe and protected in my despair. Even in times of great hardship and places I've never wanted to be or had to endure, there is a comfort in having the same misery every day. This is why people go back to terrible situations. This is why the children of Israel want to go back to Egypt after they get out into the wilderness. This is why the people that the book of Hebrews and the New Testament is written to, who want to go back to their old faith. That's what the author of Hebrews is writing to them and saying, You know, there's good days up ahead. You don't have to go back. Ultimately, the spewing out that happens in all these situations is a mercy. We want to return to the misery sometimes. We want to go back. But God listens to our prayer and says, okay, fish, it's time to vomit that one up. And off we go, launching through the air, tumbling and twirling and covered in slime. And we hit the beach really hard. And it's not one of those sandy beaches. It's one of those rocky shorelines. And there we are, laying there, saying, wow, that was the answer to prayer. But it is the answer to prayer. So I don't know what you need to get spewed out of today, but I hope that it's a more pleasant journey than Jonah's, but it probably won't be. It'll probably be hard and difficult and painful, and you'll feel like you're going to die and you're not going to make it. But ultimately, God is going to get you out of there. God is going to get you out of that place and situation that you need to get out of. Maybe not through your efforts, but through the fishes, through the whale, through the creature that obeys God. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against you and us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Heavenly Father, in you we live and move and have our being. We humbly pray you so to guide and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that in all the cares and occupations of our life we may not forget you, but may remember that we are ever walking in your sight through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.